Good morning, delegates. I will now call the session to order. Even though we won't be able to, we won't start with our formal session with the opening speeches because the key beginning speechmaker, the one who welcomes you to this House, is delayed in coming to us. So we, at the, rather than waste time, we would like to start with some housekeeping arrangements, which will nonetheless have to be covered at some point. So I will turn the microphone over to Tom Hyland, the officer in charge of the Codex Secretariat.
Thank you very much, Karen, and welcome to all of you. The first thing is the interpretation facility. We'll have interpretation into English, French, Spanish, and Arabic at this session. Channel one is if you want to listen to the original, to the floor language. Channel two for the English, channel three for French, channel four for Spanish, channel five for Arabic. Our working hours during the session of the Executive Committee will be from 9:30 to 12:30 and from 2:30 to 5:30 today and tomorrow, with coffee breaks at 11 o'clock and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for each time 15 minutes. We have the possibility for a night session tomorrow night between 7 and 10. We hope that we won't need it. I'm sure that we are so efficient that we, by the time we get to tomorrow, we will already have covered most of our business, so we can safely say we will not need a night session. And then we have another session on Thursday morning from 9:30 to 12:30 with a coffee break from 11 to 11:15. The report will be available for you on Friday for your review, and we're going to read it starting from 2:30 in the afternoon on Friday 26th. So the report should be available at least 1 hour before that time. Another thing, probably Mr. Tarode will say it again, we will have a reception tonight for you, which will be, I have to check where it is. Do you have it? I will find it. It's in the Indonesia room on the 8th floor tonight at 6 o'clock, so to which all of you are invited. I will close here for the moment. We are waiting for Mr. Taur, who has been called for a meeting with the Deputy Director General and who is just returning now, and we hope he's going to be with us in a few seconds. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, everybody. While waiting for our Assistant Director General to show up, I wanted to let's say confirm what you already heard, certainly, that Mr. Miyagashima, or Kazuaki Miyagashima, has resigned from the post of secretary, and that Mr. Hyland is officer in charge of the secretariat. But he's here now as our advisor and consultant during this session, and we are very happy that he has accepted to come during this period and to travel back from Japan to be with us during this week. So I just wanted to clarify, so because you see him here, yes. You heard that he has resigned. This is the capacity in which he's with us. Thank you. Back to you, Madam Chair.
We would like to welcome you all, Mr. Traore, the Assistant Director General, and he will make opening comments to welcome all of you to this house. Mr. Traore.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Once again, I want to apologize. We had an expected meeting since 8:30. That's why I came late. So I hope really that you will accept this apology. Madam Chairperson, the Vice Chairs, members and advisors, my colleague, Dr. Keiichi, I would like to welcome you to Rome and to FAO headquarters for the 62nd session of the Executive Committee of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. I want to extend a special welcome to Dr. Keiji Fukuda, who has joined us very recently, the Assistant Director General from WHO. Next week, when the Codex Alimentarius Commission convenes its 32nd session, there will be more than 600 people in the room. The discussions that take place in that meeting will cover a host of topics, including debates on more than 36 new standards and a host of issues that have the potential to impact the health and livelihoods of consumers around the world, as well as the way Codex Alimentarius conducts its business. The Executive Committee is a restricted body, is the place, the right place to hold the types of discussions that would not be possible in a room of 600 people. This puts a great deal of responsibility on you. It is your task to smooth the way for the Commission by offering balanced solutions and giving management advice through your critical review function. The Codex Alimentarius Commission is an internationally recognized risk manager in the food safety area because its work is based on independent scientific advice provided by FAO and WHO. The Commission uses that scientific advice to develop and deliver the standards, guidelines, and codes of practice needed by governments to protect the health of their consumers and to participate in global food trade, which has the potential of improving their national economies. The capacity building programs of FAO and WHO are critical links that assist countries in the implementation of Codex standards and thus complement the work of Codex. I am well aware that determining which issues to tackle first can be difficult. Food production, food processing, food trade, in our globalizing world, these areas are constantly changing, and as they change, the role of Codex in ensuring their safety increases. When protecting the health of consumers is the overriding goal of your work, your decisions must be timely. What good is guidance if it comes too late? Transparency, inclusiveness, and consensus are core values of Codex. We see them in the openness of your debates, and we also see them in the concerted efforts of the Codex Trust Fund and capacity building activities of both FAO and WHO to ensure that more and more of your members can participate to the fullest extent in Codex activities. The importance you place on these values was also seen in the discussions held on the consensus building process during the April meeting of the Codex Committee on General Principles, discussions that will be continued at the Commission. When you get through the sometimes painful processes of discussion and working toward consensus in working groups, in committees, and finally here at the Executive Committee and the Commission, you have arrived at a text that everyone has agreed to, a text that everybody feels they own and thus can support. That is what the Codex process is all about. This process is democratic, and as is true with all democracies, the process takes time and resources, but it does not have to be slow. Over the last few years, Codex has shown that it can increase the speed of its processes without compromising its values. Half of the work that comes to you now for final review before adoption by the Commission has gone through the five-step fast track rather than the entire eight-step Codex procedure. I'm convinced that we can go further than that, and I'm also convinced that this is necessary. The outside world still views Codex procedures as too slow, and there is now the issue of competition from private standards that came in initially to cover areas left out by the Codex. If nothing changes and the current trend is maintained, the private standards may get soon into open competition with the Codex standards and compromise the values we are all fighting for. A couple of ideas, Madam Chair, for your reflection. We are sure that your creativity will let you come up with more. Procedures. I would like to suggest that the current fast-track procedure becomes the normal road for Codex, and that you develop a new track that can be even faster. Of course, this is easy to say, and it will also be relatively easy to amend your procedures in this way, but how to implement this while keeping your values? If Codex is to deliver efficiently, the standard-setting process must anticipate the needs rather than responding to them, nor reacting to emergencies. Consensus building. Consensus needs interaction to ripen, but if the interaction between the partners is limited to yearly meetings and maybe some working groups, then it can easily take years. To speed up the process, you have to be connected almost constantly. Our modern world allows this. Use the right level of formality. Efficient consensus building comes from using the right level of formality at each step. By this, I mean when you begin the process of developing a standard, start very informal and meet very often. Be connected, as I said above. Then, as the standard evolves, use more formal venues, such as physical working groups and committees, and then, in the end, and only when all issues have been solved, bring your ideas to the Commission. Standard management. Codex is the global risk manager for food safety, and you on this committee, if you will permit me to say, are the risk managers for Codex. Your management role is both essential and challenging. There will always be competing needs in the framework of the critical review. There will be the need to set new standards and the need to revise old ones. You have the daunting responsibility for making critically important decisions, setting priorities. The more and better you assume your role and do this, the more efficient and faster Codex will be. Trust. Trust is needed at all levels, and this includes the trust of the membership of Codex in the Executive Committee. Still, some may see the Executive Committee as a secret body, exclusive and non-transparent. You have to change this perception, and I think all members, especially the chair and the vice chairs, have to become high-profile communication officers and ambassadors of this committee. This is why I support very much the chair's idea of identifying each and every member of the executive committee in the commission when giving the report of this session. Communication. You have found a way to measure your speed, to correct the world view that codex is slow, and to correct the world view that codex is slow, and constantly monitor how you are doing. I'm not saying it will be easy. There will be efforts and sacrifices on the way, but I'm sure it can be done. You can do it. Applications for observer status. I find it extremely admirable that the Codex Alimentarius Commission recognizes the value of inviting the active participation of international non-governmental organizations. After all, this is a global organization serving a global constituency. The broader the input in terms of bringing technical expertise as well as understanding of public opinion into the discussions, the more guarantee that the decisions made here will have the broadest acceptance and in turn positive effect. There is high interest among the NGO community to participate in and contribute to the Codex process. Almost 200 groups already have observer status, ranging from those representing consumers to those representing private sector producers and retailers. This year, 7 more groups have applied, and I could not help but notice that they range from one group called the Calorie Control Council to one at the exact opposite end of the spectrum, called Aeroglasses. Rules have been set up that guide the granting of observer status. It is another important function of your committee to ensure that both existing observers as well as new applicants comply with these rules. When determining which organizations should be accepted, your scrutiny is critical. You have to balance the need for transparency with the need to ensure that the contributions of observers will be focused, relevant, and constructive. Financial and budgetary matters. Here at FAO, we are reforming as an organization. FAO has been pleased to house Codex since 1963, with responsibility for the administration of the program on behalf of FAO and WHO. Now FAO is moving into a results-based framework, which means Codex as well as 14 other bodies housed here in FAO will require a new level of accountability. As in previous biennia, FAO will continue to give priority to Codex and to Codex-related activities in its program. Strategic plan. The Codex strategic plan of 2008-2013 calls for an evaluation of the Codex sessions held in developing countries and for an evaluation of the capacity of the Codex Secretariat. Both of these issues are on this year's agenda. These are extremely complex issues for which the Commission expects and depends on your guidance. In looking further at the Commission's agenda for next week, I see items that will be of great interest to the public, such as the guidelines for preventing or reducing formation of acrylamide during cooking and for setting maximum limits for melamine in food and feed. These are issues that drew a good deal of attention. On the other hand, I see items on the agenda that are not as well publicized, but still are critically important to the overall goals and work of Codex, such as the planned discussion on consensus building. In concluding, Madam Chair, this brief statement, let me reiterate the continued commitment of FAO to the work of Codex. Together with our partners in WHO, we will work closely, cooperatively, on assisting the Commission in fulfilling its objectives in order to ensure better and safer food for all of us, and fair trade for all nations. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Traore, for those inspirational and perceptive remarks. I would next like to invite our honored guest, Dr. Keiji Fukuda, who has certainly been a busy man in these last few months, as he has been on point for the World Health Organization for the recent flu pandemic. Mr. Fukuda, we welcome your remarks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Vice Chairs, Assistant Director General for FAO, and members, it's with great pleasure I join this 62nd session of the Executive Committee of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. This is the first time I've attended this meeting, and I hope to join in future years if you'll have me. I note with much interest and pleasure that for over 50 years, FAO and WHO have joined together to form a critical international source of sound scientific advice on all matters related to food safety. During this time, FAO and WHO have continuously worked together to develop innovative approaches to address food safety issues. For example, in the last few years, we have seen new scientific approaches to enable the provision of scientific advice in the areas of food microbiology, biotechnologies, and antimicrobial resistance in the analysis of risks and benefits. In recent years, both organizations have reorganized their activities and structures to strengthen links and intersectoral cooperation across the farm-to-fork continuum. In part, this approach has been driven by the emergence of new diseases often originating at the interface between animals and humans, and accelerating the need for an integrated approach in addressing public health issues often originating in food-producing animals. Given these challenges, which as a globe we all face, WHO would like to assure the members of the Commission and the Executive Board of the continued commitment of WHO to food safety standard setting through the FAO-WHO efforts in this program. Now, the World Health Assembly is WHO's highest governing body, and the WHA has regularly been following the achievements of the Codex Commission and program. Last year, the WHA noted its satisfaction with the work of the Commission and its hope for continuous attention by the Commission on the public health aspects of this work. So I simply want to end this short note by emphasizing that WHO is strongly supportive of international standard setting work that can help to decrease food-related public health risks. The WHO Secretariat is therefore committed to working with its colleague partner FAO in strengthening the management of the Codex system in order to continuously improve and strengthen its work. So again, on a personal note, I want to thank Mr. Traore for his kindness in hosting us down here. And again, I do look forward to working personally with the Executive Committee and with the Codex Commission in the coming years. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fukuda. We now have the moment in time where we usually take a small break to reorganize the head table to allow the very senior officials who've joined us this morning to attend to more important business. But it seems, and we should all be very pleased at this, they have no business more important than ours. So I think, frankly, that demands a round of applause. Unfortunately for them, they now have to listen to my opening remarks. Some of which, and this is really quite interesting, echo almost verbatim remarks that have already been made, and I promise you, these are independent events. Let me first welcome again all of you, Dr. Fukuda, Mr. Schlund, Mr. Traore, Mr. Boutrieff, and our legal counsel. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for devoting your time this week, a whole week in addition to next week. It's work that the Commission should very rightly value. So welcome to this 2009 session, the 62nd session of the Executive Committee. As my nearly first act, I'd like to introduce the other members of the new Bureau, the Commission elected last year in addition to me, Karen Hulebach, the Vice Chairs sitting across from me, from my left, Mr. Ben Maniendo, in the middle, Mr. Dave, Mr. Maniendo from Uganda, Mr. Dave from India, and Mr. Knut Ostergaard from Denmark. We together, the Bureau, have worked together throughout this past year. And this is probably the first time in the history of Codex that this has happened. We started soon after the election with a planning meeting here in Rome. Our new one new initiative that came out of that planning session was the decision that the vice chairs would attend all the regional coordinating committee sessions. This too is a new initiative, giving these officers newly informed understanding of regional issues across the Codex system. In a second new initiative this year, all Codex chairs were invited to attend the Committee on General Principles and to participate in a retreat and training session for all of those chairs for 2 days at a facility outside Paris. About 40% of the chairs took advantage of this offer. We will hope in subsequent years that more take advantage of this offer. Those 2 days we spent together working to improving our chairing skills and especially focusing on the factors that stand in the way of achieving consensus. And we also worked on how to deal with those issues so as to better achieve consensus. At the retreat, we discussed in depth the relatively few factors that seem repeatedly to stand in the way of achieving consensus in Codex. We also got acquainted with each other. This is worth a lot because chairs have responsibilities to the broader good of the Commission, responsibilities that go beyond the immediate terms of reference of their own committees, responsibilities such as cross-committee coordination. Throughout our tenure, we, the vice chairs and I, will be working together to help create a greater sense of teamwork among all of us with leadership responsibilities in Codex. The Codex Executive Committee is the Commission's advisory group. As the Commission's agenda becomes more and more complex, the Codex Executive Committee's agenda becomes more and more complex and critical. All of us members of the Executive Committee are officers of the Codex Commission, and we are here to work for the Commission to help the Commission achieve its goals. Commission members, as you may know, often have a poor understanding of what the Executive Committee is and what it does. They often do not understand that the executive committee works to advise the commission and to help carry out its responsibility as the ultimate decision maker in the Codex Alimentarius body. We, the Bureau and the Secretariat, would therefore like to suggest that it might be helpful were you, the members of the Executive Committee, to be introduced to the Commission members at the start of the session. Stand up, be recognized by name, so they can put faces with names. We hope that this might help the Commission delegates recognize that their Executive Committee is not an anonymous group working in secret, but that you are individuals who have essentially been chosen by them to help them by advising them so that they, the Commission delegates, can be more effective and efficient in their work. That the Codex Commission must become stronger and remain relevant is beyond argument. A stronger Codex is the best answer to the challenge of private standards. A stronger Codex is the best answer to the challenge put up by other organizations, such as perhaps ISO and perhaps OIE and others, that can work faster than Codex, in part because they aren't nearly so open, transparent, and inclusive as this body is. A stronger Codex is definitely the best answer to the description of Codex that is heard all too often as laughably slow. And if you don't believe me, listen to Mr. Traore, but also let me point you to the consultant's report on private standards that is in the documentation for this commission session. You will find that those consultants encountered that negative perception of Codex more than once. This year, this executive committee has a heavy work burden. We must conduct critical review for new work proposals. That is our usual responsibility at this pre-commission meeting, because those new work proposals will be considered by the commission for adoption or not, acceptance or not, next week. But this year, we must also conduct the critical review of standards in development. Now, this is usually done by the executive committee at its December session, but as you probably know, there was no December session of the executive committee this past year because of financial constraints. As we work through our agenda this week and through the commission's agenda next week, we think you will see some new initiatives that we hope will help to make the commission more effective and efficient. One small thing I'll mention now is a suggested change about how we will wear our identification badges. These badges that can do much more for you than merely gain you access into the building. You will notice at the commission that the badges you receive will attach with a magnet instead of attaching to a lanyard hanging down the front. Here's the theory. For us to begin to develop relationships with each other and trust in one another, we need to take the first step of getting to know each other. And it's so much easier to get to know someone if it's possible to know that person's name. And how much easier it is to learn that person's name if it is easily visible right here on the right shoulder, which is where most people's eyes fall when greeting one another. And how much easier to do that, to see a person's name clearly, rather than being forced to try to read a badge that's hanging somewhere in the nether regions of the belt or below, and probably flipped around backwards. So let's try this small change this year. We think it will help to break the ice. The Commission's agenda is very large this year. It has many controversial issues distributed throughout the week. This fact highlights the important role that this group has in assisting the Commission in achieving its goals. It also serves as a reminder that we must manage our time carefully, both during this week's meeting and during the commission session next week. We want to be certain to give every agenda item the time for discussion that it deserves. And I say we with a reason. This year, for the first time, the Codex vice chairs will chair the parts of this executive committee session that they will have the responsibility for chairing next week during the commission session. That's the last new initiative I have to announce at this moment. Now, shall we get to work? Thank you. Delegates, our first order of business will be the adoption of the agenda, and we have some possible changes to suggest, and we will also ask you for any changes you might wish to suggest. Mr. Hyland. Mr. Hyland prefers that I do this. There are, as you, I'm sure you realize, several items on our agenda that are specific to our work. They are items that we must do, the Commission cannot do. Those include the critical review of standards and texts submitted to the Commission for adoption, and monitoring of standards in development, as well we must consider applications from international non-governmental organizations that have applied for observer status in Codex. And it is our job as well to consider the discussion paper on the business plan that has been suggested by the delegations of Australia and New Zealand. We would suggest, in order to ensure that we get these pieces of business taken care of first, that we move well, let's see. We would like to combine the discussion of the business plan suggested by Australia and New Zealand with discussion of the budget and other financial matters. But it seems that that would be most effective if we were to do that tomorrow morning first thing. So we will take up Agenda 2, Agenda 6C, and then return to 4 and the regular sequence of events until tomorrow morning. We would hope to get through these agenda items I have mentioned so far by the end of today, or as far into agenda item 4 as we can possibly make it. We do have some time restrictions. As you know, we are required to break for coffee at certain times, but we will keep those coffee breaks to their allotted times and start business immediately at the end. Are these proposals in agreement? Do you find them in agreement with your sense? Are there any other suggestions that the committee would like to make about the agenda and the course of items in the agenda? I see no flags. Well, the agenda will be adopted as I have described it. Thank you very much. I will now turn the chair to the secretariat to introduce the first item of business, which is critical review.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I hope you don't turn the chair to me. That would be too much. Just before saying what I want to say about the critical review, and I had already thought about it because I wanted to notice that this session is going to be audio recorded. This was done as one measure to increase transparency of the Executive Committee so that all delegations, even those not in the as members of the Executive Committee, would have the possibility to listen to the procedures. So all parts of this Executive Committee are going to be audio recorded, with the exception of our discussion on applications for observer status. So at that time, I will just announce that the audio recording will stop at that time and it will resume after we have finished with that item. Now, turning to the critical review for the elaboration of codex standards and related text, the first part of this, part A, dealing with draft standards and related text submitted to the Commission for adoption. The relevant document is CXXX0962-2. And I will turn to my colleague Selma Doran for the introduction of that document. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The critical review, as was already mentioned in the, also by the Chair's introduction at the beginning, this first document concerns the text for adoption at the Commission, whether at Step 8 or at Step 5. And in the first page of the document, we have recalled the criteria or the elements of the critical review. We are looking at consistency with the mandate, decisions of the Commission, existing codex text, looking at the requirements of endorsement, the format, presentation, consistency, and also if there is a relation with other texts and some consequential amendment which may be required. We are not looking whether this will be, whether there are a lot of comments or there are some objections, etc. The actual discussion on the adoption will take place at the Commission. But we are all aware of that, so that's very, very clear. Also, we have recalled that the format is as agreed in the strategic plan, 2008-2013. The identification number, you have the columns, as we have this table in the strategic plan. When it was after 2004, you have a job identification number, and there was also a timetable, which was agreed when the work was initiated. However, in many cases, when work was started before that, you will not see this number, and you will not see the year in the column, but you may see it in the column with the notes, because all committees had been asked to put a timetable even when they were when the work was already initiated, and to, so that we can look whether these standards or related texts are progressing according to the timetable. There are also the codes of the strategic plan relating to food safety, quality, and labeling other areas, and these are listed in the same order as the document Alinom 09-32-5 on draft standards submitted for adoption, and the Alinom 09-32-6 with the proposed draft standards at Step 5. Of course, we always ask the comments from chairpersons or host countries of the committees. They are included in the tables, and they were received. And there is no addition. We always mention that if there were additional comments, they would be presented. But it's not the case. There is no CRD, and all the comments received from the chair, from the chairs of the committees, are included when we receive them. So I think, Madam Chair, we will start committee by committee. And the first one on page 3 is the on standards at step 8. The first is the Coordinating Committee for Asia. So I will just note quickly that for all the three standards proposed for adoption, all the provisions were endorsed: additives, labeling, methods of analysis and sampling, and except some comments from the Committee on Food Additives, but that would not, of course, prevent the adoption of the standards. So as regards critical review, everything is in good order and ready for adoption in these standards where there was no specific problems either in the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Storan. Are there any comments from the Executive Committee given these very clear remarks by the Secretariat? And keeping in mind the 4 points that limit, that lay the bounds of our review. I see no flags. The Executive Committee will recommend endorsement. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we go to the next committee, Committee on Contaminants in Food, there are quite a number of items proposed for adoption at Step 8 or at Step 5 and 8. So there are no specific remarks because there was very good work and very good agreement in the committee, as you see that the progress was quite efficient. However, we have a note on the procedure on the first of these items. This is on the revision of the preamble to the General Standard for Contaminants. There is note on procedure due to the late availability of the document, because that was quite a complex document and it came a little late, it was not possible to ask for comments at step 3. However, the committee worked and they had some working group during the session and it did quite an extensive review of the document, and it agreed that it could go to step 5 and 8 to the Commission. Of course, we draw the attention to the question of procedure, but there is agreement in the committee to forward it to the Commission. And Madam Chair, while I have the floor, there is another item we will see with the same situation from another committee, the Committee on Food Hygiene. So perhaps we could make some remarks on this subject, which could be in general when we have a similar situation in the critical review. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think it's important to note that there has been, for these two items, one from contaminants and one from food hygiene, a skipping ahead in the formal procedure. However, I do note that in both cases, the text of those of the documents have actually been in discussion for quite a long time and were not new to the committee, and agreement at the committee, as has been noted, to send them forward at step 5-8, which is an admirable trend, and it's a trend we're seeing more increasingly, and I believe we should encourage. Are there any comments on the documents then for the Codex Committee on Contaminants and the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene? I see Arjund. I see the, please, could you turn the member for Latin America and the Caribbean, and the member for Southwest Pacific. Member for Latin America and Caribbean first, please.
Gracias, Presidenta. Nosotros tenemos algunos comentarios respecto de este preámbulo. Creemos que es un documento que no está terminado de definir todavía. No está absolutamente claro cuál es su ámbito de aplicación, si es para el trabajo dentro del Códex, si también involucra recomendaciones para los gobiernos. Esa confusión se traslada inclusive a las menciones respecto de los documentos de principios de análisis de riesgo que se tienen que tener en cuenta. Dependiendo de cuál es el ámbito, será el documento de principios que se tenga que recomendar, si el que se aplica en el ámbito del Códex o el que deberían aplicar los gobiernos. Y esto se repite en distintas partes a lo largo del documento. En realidad, nos parece que inclusive este preámbulo debería formar parte de la revisión que tenga que hacer principios generales, porque involucra muchas cuestiones vinculadas al análisis de riesgo y, por consiguiente, una vez que queden absolutamente definidos estos aspectos en relación con cuál es el ámbito, ¿sí?, a quién está destinado, si al trabajo del Códex, al trabajo del Códex y los gobiernos o a los gobiernos solamente, debería incluirse este documento en la revisión que haga el Comité de Principios Generales para lograr coherencia. Gracias.
If I may respond to the comments by the member for Latin America and the Caribbean, we should keep in front of our minds the bounds within which this our review of these texts takes place. We should ensure their consistency with the mandate of Codex, the decisions of the Commission existing Codex texts, ensure that requirements of the endorsement procedure have been fulfilled where appropriate for format and presentation and linguistic consistency. And I wonder if I might ask, as a procedural matter, whether the concerns expressed by the member might be taken care of when the Codex Committee on General Principles does its planned across all committees revision or review for possible revision for consistency. Perhaps ask the Secretariat for comment on that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I think in the framework of the critical review, we look also not at the substance, the specific text, but in that case, it's clear that what is in the Codex Alimentarius is intended for governments, and otherwise the texts which are intended for risk analysis policies of each committee or in general are in the procedural manual, and that's part of the exercise which is now underway in the Committee on General Principles. In that specific case, the reason why this preamble was revised was because there was some mix between what was intended for governments and what was intended for work within Codex. And as you know, we have also principles which apply internally to the Committee on Contaminants. So our understanding was that the work in that committee was to make sure that the revision of the preamble was revised and a lot of text was deleted, which was applicable within Codex, so that the intention was to revise the preamble so that it was really part of the text, limits for contaminants, etc. And that was why it was revised. So a lot of this text intended for Codex was deleted. Now, of course, on the merit, if some countries consider that it was not entirely the case, they would provide their comments and we'll discuss that at the Commission. But the intention was that the preamble should be intended for government because it's governments, because it is part of a document which is for governments, the general standard for contaminants. Perhaps it might not have been achieved exactly as all countries would agree, and that would come in the comments, because otherwise we have principles for risk analysis, which are now in the procedural manual specifically for contaminants, and that will be part of the revision in CCGP for all risk analysis texts intended within Codex. But normally this preamble was intended for governments, and that was why it was revised. Perhaps it's not entirely agreeable to all countries, and there may be some need for further revision, so that will be, I think, in the comments. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment from the Secretariat. Member for Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I simply take the floor to endorse the comments you made about
willingness of committees to advance standards more rapidly. We think that's a welcome trend and worth recognizing and supporting, as you have noted. We believe that there has been a lot of concern going back a number of years about the pace at which Codex proceeds with standards development, and we think accelerated process should be more and more the norm rather than the exception. And we believe that, you know, I think committees should be recognized and encouraged to support this trend wherever possible. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I recognize the member from Asia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We also echo the idea of FAO, WHO, and Chair Lady, I don't know how to say, to accelerate the process. Actually, there has already been existing text, which is called preamble, picture of recommendations to members of Codex, as well as to Codex Committee on Contaminants itself. And as explained by the Secretariat, the objective of this revision is to split these two parts and put them into proper parts, one in the procedure manual, the other in the standard. We recognize that there are some countries which may wish to retain the text into two places or other places from what was agreed. However, in view of the existing text containing both kinds of text, in order to show the Codex is doing something properly, I would think it's better to adopt a new version, and if it's still carried over problems, then the Codex Committee on Contaminants can resume consideration of that part. And I think as a Codex as a whole, it's better to have more precise or correct text than the mixture of two kinds.
Thank you very much for those comments for the member from Asia. I see no other comments. Then, taking into account the comments from the member from Latin America and the Caribbean and the context of our review of these documents, and seeing no other flags, I take it that the committee then adopts these four, or recommends these four texts for adoption. We next move to, just a minute, I've been stymied by double-sided paper. Let me find out where I am. Thank you. I was saved by the fact that we actually still have four documents in contaminants. So, unless there are any other comments, then we will confirm that the committee recommends adoption of these four documents from the Committee on Contaminants, and we will move to consideration of three documents from the Committee on Food Additives. Are there any comments? A beginning, of course, from the Secretariat.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, and that for that committee, as you see, it's ongoing, so there is not much to say. The additive, the provisions in the GSFA, and the identity and purity provisions, they are ongoing. The other item is the second one, the draft amendment to the international numbering system, and we indicated in the column that there may be need for consequential amendment in the labeling text, in the general standard for the labeling of prepackaged foods, which also refers to the technological functions of additives. So that will be, that was also considered by the Committee on Food Labeling, and the proposal for this consequential amendment will be considered under the amendment. So that was taken into account to ensure consistency throughout Codex text. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat. Are there any comments from the committee? Member from Latin America, please.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Quería aclarar que Argentina, como representante de América Latina y el Caribe, no tiene comentarios sobre este texto. No obstante, en la comisión haremos alguna mención en representación de nuestro país.
Thank you very much for that clarification. That's helpful. Are there any other comments on these particular standards? I see no flags. Let's move then to two texts from the Committee on Food Hygiene. Ms. Doran, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. As you see, you have two items which are very important items from the food safety point of view. It was based on several meetings of several recommendations from GEMRA on the pathogens which are named here. And so that you also have the comments from the Chair explaining the all the process which came to this these proposal for adoption by the Commission. And there is the same note on procedure that we had for the item from the Committee on Contaminants, that due to the late availability of the document, no comments had been requested at step three, but there was a lot of work in the committee and it agreed on the on forwarding this proposed draft microbiological criteria to step 5 and 8, which will complete, in fact, the Code of Hygienic Practice, which was adopted in 2008. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretariat. Are there any comments on these two documents from the committee? I see no flags. Thank you. The Executive Committee will recommend to the Commission their adoption. Next, we move to text from the Codex Committee on Food Import and Export Inspection and Certification Systems, known to CCFIX by its friends. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, as you can see, it was scheduled for adoption on in 2010, and now it's been sent for step 5 and 8. You have the comments of the Chair, and on that there was very good progress. So, in fact, just to know that it's annexed to the guidelines on generic official certificates, which is from 2001. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments from the committee on this document? I see no flags. Thank you. The Executive Committee will recommend to the Commission adoption of this text. The next text is from the Codex Committee on Food Labeling. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is only one item, and you see 5A, which means 5 accelerated procedure. That was very limited amendment. It for the conditions for use of frotenone in order to prevent its release into the environment and in waterways. So that's in the organic guidelines, and you can see it was according to schedule, and that was through the accelerated procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments on this document? I will just note that it's not that often that we see procedure. That means that decided at the beginning of its work on a text that it will move that text through on an accelerated procedure. We would like to see more of that. Thank you. I see no flags. This committee will recommend to the Commission adoption. The next text is from the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In this also remitted amendment. It's to for the inclusion of rice bran oil, which is especially important to production in the Asian region. And there is some explanation of the delay at the beginning of the initiation of the of this standard. There was some delay due to provisions which were revised certain different times because countries had to provide the data and really to agree on the parameters. But now it's it was all these questions were solved and now it is ready for adoption to the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments on this document from members of this committee? I see no flags. The committee will recommend adoption to the Commission. The next item on our agenda is the Codex, an item from the Codex Committee on General Principles, the proposed draft revised Code of Ethics for International Trades and Food. Ms. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see, for that text was initiated in 1999. It went through very extensive discussion in the Committee on General Principles. However, at the present session, it was now sent to for step 5 and 8 from the Committee on General Principles. As you see, we did not put too much detail because now it was sent for adoption. There were a lot of discussion on the scope, the need for the code, what it should cover, relation with WTO, with other codex texts. So that went on for several session. It was revised several times, and then after the fact that there was a reduced version, a revised version, which was shorter on some principles, which was proposed in 2007 in the Committee on General Principles, which, by the way, did not meet in 2008, so that was considered at the last session in 2009. Now it has been sent to step 5 and 8. We have, of course, some comments, and that will be discussed at the Commission, but that was to explain the according to the timetable of the development of the text for the purpose of the critical review. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. I'm aware that there are a number of comments on this text. Let us restrict to the extent we can our comments in this body to the bounds of the review in which we are supposed to comment and advise the Commission. I will start with the member from Latin America and the Caribbean and work my way around the table. I see several flags.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Nosotros no estamos de acuerdo con el procedimiento acelerado para la aprobación de este texto. Todos somos conscientes y estamos plenamente de acuerdo en que debe existir la ética en el comercio internacional y que todos los alimentos que se muevan, no solo que se comercialicen, tienen que ser inocuos. Hemos debatido durante años de qué manera lograr esto, porque se dice que hay países que de hecho no tienen código alimentario ni sistema de control. Y para nosotros que pretendemos que la ética rija, nos sigue preocupando lo mismo. Si no tienen sistema de control ni código alimentario, ¿cómo van a hacer para verificar que lo que un país de destino dice es cierto? Si no tienen su propio mal pueden conocer la norma del país de origen, ni ninguna otra. Con lo cual, una de las grandes preocupaciones de Latinoamérica es de qué manera se implementa esto. Porque esto no es una cuestión ética o moral nada más. El documento del Códex va a ser un documento legal. Por consiguiente, hemos pedido, pero nadie responde, ese quizás sea uno de los problemas que tiene el Códex, que es mejor no responder y seguir adelante. Y esa es una de las cosas que afecta tanto el consenso y que hace que muchos países se queden desconformes. Porque en ocasiones lo que se necesita son respuestas, y nosotros lo que queremos saber es cómo se va a implementar esto, cómo van a hacer los países que no tienen sistema de control ni código alimentario para saber que un país exportador o donante les está diciendo la verdad, cuando ni siquiera van a ir certificados estos alimentos. Gracias.
Thank you for your comments. Member for Latin America, I would just remind you that while these are comments that are certainly valid for you to make, they are really best suited for the Commission, and they're somewhat out of the bounds of our functioning in this body. So those kinds of comments really are part, they're fair game for the Commission, but they're beyond the bounds of our review in this body. But thank you for your comments. You will have definitely an opportunity next week. I'll move down the table and recognize the Caribbean. Thank you.
Gracias, señora presidente. Reconocemos que que el trabajo en este comité no es hacer comentarios puntuales sobre el documento. Lo que sí quisiéramos es resaltar que durante el Comité de Principios Generales la región no fue escuchada y por tanto no recomendamos la adopción del trámite 5.8.
Thank you, madam, for your comment. Next, I will recognize the coordinator.
شكرا سيدة الرئيسة. لن أخوض في الوثيقة لكن هناك بعض تعليقات أود أن أسوقها في والتي تتعلق بإجراءات المصادقة خلال دورة المبادئ العامة التي انعقدت خلال 2009. أظن أن هناك عدة تعليقات حصلت خلال هذه الدورة ليست موافقة على هذه الوثيقة كما قدمت. ونستغرب معناها مرورها إلى الخطوة 5-8 وهنا نطرح السؤال هل حصل وفاق أو لا خلال هذه الدورة؟ طبعا هناك تعليقات خلال دورة الهيئة سنتقدم بها. كذلك نقطة ثانية وتخص تطابق هذه الوثيقة مع استراتيجية الدستور الغذائي وخاصة في فصلها الرابع خاصة النقطة 4-2 وأظن أن هناك لبس في هذه النقطة ويمكن أن تسبب تضارب مع الهدف الأول من الخطة الاستراتيجية للدستور الغذائي خاصة في إحداث إطار مواصفاتي موحد للدول الأعضاء في الدستور الغذائي. شكرا.
Thank you, sir. Next, the coordinator for Europe.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I have a short comment from the European region. At this 32nd session of the European region, which was held in Poland from the 7th to the 10th October 2008, the CCU expressed support for the development of the code and stressed its usefulness, especially for developing countries and the countries in transition, and strongly supported its revision, which should not reiterate existing provision in the Codex text or the WTO agreements, but focus on the protection of consumers in countries which do not have yet the capacity for adequate import control for food safety and quality. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Coordinator for Europe. I remind the Commission of the delegates that we will be making, I'm quite sure, these kinds of comments at the Commission. And at the risk of making that discussion boring, because we've already had it here, we should try to restrict those comments to the Commission. If you must make such comments, please be very, very, very brief. Member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also wanted to add my congratulations to two committees for their use of the accelerated procedure. You mentioned the Committee on Contaminants in Food and also in Food Hygiene, and indeed the use of the 5A procedure. And I see no reasons to the General Principles Committee, because we feel that in this particular case, this very short document is overdue. We note that it was started 10 years ago. And also there is the message that is given if an organization such as ours has difficulty agreeing its code of ethics. So on a procedural point, the procedure is there for speeding up discussion, and we think it's properly applied here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Member for North America, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Like the member for Europe, we would like to congratulate and note the success of some committees in accelerating some of the Codex processes. In the case of this particular agenda item at the Codex Committee for General Principles, we all recognize that this has been a very long-standing agenda item, and we certainly would like to congratulate the chair of that committee progress on this particular initiative. In noting the chairperson's comments about the role of the executive committee in reviewing the standards that are being presented for steps 5, 8, or step 8, from our perspective, this particular agenda item would meet the criteria that's been established for the executive committee in making its recommendations to the commission. And also note that members will certainly be free at the commission itself to note their support or concerns regarding the particular agenda item. Thanks.
Thank you, member from North America. I'd like to take a comment from the coordinator from Asia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to express to trust the CCTP, because we are in the committee, the head of the committee should trust to the committee system. Therefore, I would like to support this proposal and looking forward in the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, coordinator for Asia. There are three more flags up that would open up a second round of comments. No? Who's the member for Southwest Pacific is a new commentator on this point. Sorry, sir. Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, we endorse the comments from the member for Europe and also the member from North America. Essentially, this discussion has been this of the draft revised code of ethics has been on the table of general principles as noted in the document for some 10 years, and it has gone through successes in terms of the structure and what we have, as we believe, been a document that was circulated at the last meeting. It has, and from our recollection, there have been very few written comments over the in the lead up to the most recent meeting of general principles. We are aware that there was quite a significant amount of discussion at the meeting, but in our view, procedurally, it's important to support the committee's efforts in coming up with a document that is significantly address many of the concerns that were raised during the last 10 years of the debate on this issue. So procedurally, we think it's appropriate to support the committee's recommendation to have this standard, the revised code, advanced to step 5-8. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. Rather than open a second round of comments on this document, given the very heavy agenda we have, would you indulge me, listen to a statement that I would suggest as the conclusion, as a summary of what we have heard this morning, which would be something like, with respect to this document, while the committee identified no deficiency in the four characteristics that form basis of evaluation by the executive committee for documents before the commission for adoption, Several members of the executive committee noted there were comments made by several members of the committee to both express support for adoption and to express disagreement with adoption based on concerns about procedural matters. End of statement. Can the committee agree that that summarizes what we've heard? Thank you. I have one clarification to make, for which I thank our consultant, that the opposition was not actually to adoption, it was to the omissions of steps 6 and 7. Now, are there comments, please? Comments to accept or to accept this characterization, that change I just suggested? Okay. I see no flags. Thank you very much. To move next to the Codex Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Our coffee break, which we must take now, goes from 11 to 11:15. We will begin very shortly, say 11:16. I'll see you back. Don't burn your mouth.